WGNSTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, everybody. You're listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame football from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Sullivan, and joining me is Mike Brammer. We'd like to say thank you to our sponsor, the South Bend Chocolate Cafe in downtown South Bend. If you have any questions or comments, email us, domeanddomer@wsbt.com. For the next 15 minutes, we're going to review Notre Dame's 41-9 win over Army and talk about the implications of the Ohio State-Michigan game on the national championship scene and the BCS bowl bids. So let's get right to it, Mike. The Irish crush Army. What is there to gain from a win like this over Army?
Well, I think Notre Dame did what they had to do, which was to win. You got to win, and as it is in this year, it's with style points. So Notre Dame went in against a 3-7 Army team. They beat them in every facet of the game. They did what they had to do, which you would have thought would have at least kept them where they're at in the polls. Obviously, that wasn't the case with the coaches' poll. But anyways, you got to like what Notre Dame did on Saturday.
I thought defensively, in particular, Notre Dame held Army to 150 yards in total offense. That's the lowest in Charlie Weiss's tenure at Notre Dame. And so from that standpoint, a lot of good things to take away from that. But offensively, you like Darius Walker going for 160. It puts him over 1,000 2 years in a row.
Yeah, you got to give Darius credit. I know, you know, fans of Notre Dame have somewhat of a little bit of a problem with Darius in that he just doesn't seem to have that extra gear that you see with some of the other top backs in the country. Darius can break it, but he can't get into the open and excel and break that 60-yard touchdown run. I think his longest of the year is 39. But I think you got to give Darius credit where it's due, and that is anytime as a Notre Dame back you can rush for 1,000 yards 2 years in a row, there's something.
Well, it's only happened four times, but I mean, truthfully, you know, Walker's the only guy that gets any carries. It's not this rushing offense isn't that good statistically by Notre Dame standards, any way you want to look at it. So Darius gets the only yards that we get. That's one of the things that I'm frustrated with.
Yeah, that. But I think we're in agreement in that anybody that's seen Notre Dame's offensive line this year, certainly it's not one of their best years in doing that. So that,
you know,
being
Bob
said,
Morton stinks. You ever watch Bob Morton? He drives me crazy. He spends more time, you know, posing in front of the student section. I will not be sorry to see him go as a football player. He may be a great kid and everything, but
yeah, no. Obviously, the offensive line has some problems. They've gotten a little bit better lately, I've thought, as far as pass protection. Some of that might be Brady hanging on to the ball a little bit too long, too, trying to avoid, you know, throwing into crowds, throwing into an interception.
There's no question. A lot goes into it. If the receivers can't get off the line, can't get into their routes, and so the whole thing is delayed, the lineman can't block forever. I mean, that's part of it. Maybe Quinn holds on to it.
And I think Quinn, he's been guilty of that a little bit. Not a whole heck of a lot, but at least a little bit. You can't blame the offensive line for every single one of those sacks.
No, I would agree with that. Sometimes it's the backs who miss the blitz pickup. So there's many factors that go into it. But against Army, the offensive line did look dominant, as they should have against Army, right? I mean, you got to do those things to an overmatched opponent, and so we did. And those were all good things. Now, from a negative standpoint, Quinn's pick, you know, obviously ends his streak.
Yeah, it would have been really nice to see Brady get that. He needed about another 45 passes to break that mark. But, you know, maybe that's not a bad thing. Now, going into USC, at least he's not going to have that on the top of his mind. Maybe that opens Brady up to throw into a little bit tighter coverage, letting some of his receivers make the plays that they're going to need to make against USC.
Well, I have a feeling he probably wasn't really aware of that. And, you know, that's probably not going to be something that was going to influence him one way or the other, knowing how disciplined he is and how focused he appears to be from everything you read about him. So I disagree with you. I don't think that would have any impact on the game.
Yeah, let's hope not. One less thing to think about.
Right. Okay, well, here's something to think about. How about those green jerseys?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was awesome. There was an interesting article in the South Bend Tribune explaining that whole thing. Charlie Jr., Charlie's son, went to him and said, hey, what about breaking out the green jerseys? Charlie's initial reaction was, look, that's reserved for games when Notre Dame goes in as the underdog. And however, Charlie Jr. said, yeah, but what about recognizing and giving recognition to the seniors who should get their due?
Well, here's what I like about it. We got off the bad luck with the green jerseys and got a win with them, and I think that's important for the next time.
Yeah, no doubt. But I liked it. I think even though he broke a little bit with tradition, I like what he did because it was a reward for the seniors.
Right.
That's kind of neat.
I think Weiss in 2 years has pushed all those right buttons on issues like that. I think he really gets the spirit of Notre Dame, and you know, he's not too big to embrace the rah-rah part of college football. You know, coming from the NFL, it's all business. It's very calculated. People are cynical. I like how he comes into college and says, hey, let's embrace sort of the school spirit stuff.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, we could be sitting here arguing about how he's ineffectively used timeouts, and that hasn't happened once this year. So
that's right. When we're talking about whether or not we're wearing green jerseys or not, you know the program's in good shape. But, hey, I know one thing that gets on your nerves is you know, going for it on fourth down.
Yeah, well, just in this game, prior to this game, every single time I've been in 100% agreement. However, in this game, we're on our own 30-yard line. We're up 33-3. It was fourth and two and a half after a bad spot. I do think it was a bad spot, but it was a good fourth, two and a half. And on two occasions, we go for one. He runs the quarterback sneak again, and we don't get it. But again, I think in this situation, it just didn't seem to make sense to have us go for it on fourth down.
I like how he is a gunslinger when it comes to play calling. And going for it on fourth down sends a great message to the team, both sides of the ball, that he has confidence that the offense will execute, and if they don't, he has confidence that the defense will stop him. And sure enough, the defense gets a three and out, blocks a field goal. I think that the long-term implications of that decision, there's going to be a lot of benefit to it.
I agree. I mean, don't get me wrong. Going for it on fourth down plays a lot of psychological games with the opponent. I mean, here you are. You're fired up to stop them. They then get the first down, and you're like, oh, my God, they now have four more downs.
It's demoralizing when a team gets it on fourth
is.
Down.
It's just that in this particular situation, I just didn't agree with it 100% from the timing of it. I'm not sure that we gained all that much had we even gotten the first down.
Well, I would go along with you there, but Charlie said he had ulterior motives in his press conference. He referenced them, but didn't say what they were. So the big man knows all things. I trust his judgment, and I'll go with what Charlie decides.
Yeah,
that's all right with me. Okay, now, the other big game on Saturday, Michigan and Ohio State. Obviously, that game from, I think, a Notre Dame's fans' point of view, I think that was the worst-case scenario, what happened in the Michigan-Ohio State game.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, we wanted everything, and it has gone our way the last 3 weeks. I mean, it's been amazing the number of things that have fallen in place for us. It would have been awesome had that game been an 11-point difference, which I thought is actually more indicative of the way the game went. Had that game finished 41-30 or whatever that 11-point spread was, that was more indicative of the game than a 3-point difference at the end of the game.
I agree. I think Michigan trailed by two scores a good portion of that game, and on a fourth down interference call, Michigan's bailed out, goes on to score, and now it's a 3-point margin, and guess what? Rematch now is the buzzword.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a rematch. And not only, you know, from the standpoint of a rematch being bad for Notre Dame, Troy Smith, in an offensive shootout, put up huge numbers, and let's face it, he won the Heisman. He clinched the Heisman.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It would have been really nice to see Brady get the Heisman this year, but even though I personally believe he's the better quarterback.
Quinn is.
Yeah.
Right.
Quinn is definitely the better quarterback, and I think you'll see it with the NFL draft. But having said that, this whole thing is tough to swallow as a Notre Dame fan simply because you're going into the last game of the year. Everybody knew it going into the game. And if you listen to the pundits, they were saying, hey, look, it doesn't make sense to have a rematch. You got to play it out on the field. This is the last game of the season. Michigan going in knowing they needed to win this. Same thing with Ohio State. Let's play to see who goes to the national championship. Now all of a sudden you lose that last game and you're still in the national championship. I just think it leaves a bad taste. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I agree with you. You know, if the game would have been a classic, maybe, but there's nothing to prove from a rematch. Okay, Michigan wins a close one. Now what do we decide? Co-champions. Ohio State has to win twice to prove that they're the better team. They were the better team. Michigan had their chance. They're out. The problem with it, and I really believe the reason why the rematch scenario has got momentum, is because nobody in the media wants to see Notre Dame get their shot at Ohio State, given what happened in the Michigan game.
Right.
Notre Dame-Michigan.
Exactly.
So if we beat Southern Cal and Florida goes down, you're left with Notre Dame, and they don't want that.
Yeah, that's the last thing they're going to let happen, no doubt about it. I even think that if, you know, I don't see this happening, but if USC were to beat us and then beat UCLA, there's going to be enough swell that I think USC will make it into that championship
game. Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. But here's the ironic part about that. The experts are saying if USC wins out and beats Cal and beats Notre Dame and beats UCLA, that will prove that USC is the second-best team in the country. Well, wait a minute. I thought we stunk. According to the media, we're not any good. And when we beat UCLA, UCLA wasn't any good. But, you know, SC will get credit for beating us and UCLA.
Yeah, exactly. They're not going to give us the credit due for going in and right now beating the number two team in the AP poll at their home stadium, 8 o'clock, under the lights, big game, national exposure. Everybody's going to be watching it, and yet we won't get the credit we deserve for doing that. That's gonna fall short of us being in that national championship game because, we have no chance
to make the national championship game at this point. I think that that's clear. And for no other reason than the media does not want us there. And if we beat Southern Cal and everybody else loses, it's going to be a Michigan rematch.
Yeah. How different is this from 1993 when we beat Florida State at home? We then end up losing to Boston College. Now, maybe you can argue that it's a lower-ranked team than we should have, but we both have one loss. They go to the national championship game. We don't.
Well, the rules apply selectively to Notre Dame. They'll apply whatever rules they have to exclude Notre Dame. Now, part of the reason, though, I mean, I think there's an anti-Notre Dame bias dating back to the NBC contract. I think that's when things really turned. But realistically, the last 10 years, we have not been competitive on a national scene. We haven't won the big game. We haven't won bowl games. And so we don't get the benefit of the doubt that, honestly, I think we used to get.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain a situation that happened this weekend where we tear it up against Army, as we should, a 3-17 that came in, but we took care of all facets of the game. Arkansas goes against Mississippi State at home and does one score from special teams, one from a trick play. They end up winning 28-14, but they get dominated in every single offensive category, and yet they leap us in the polls.
Right, and LSU goes to overtime against Ole Miss. LSU moves up in the polls. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
and I tell you, here's another double standard, the head-to-head standard. West Virginia beats Rutgers. I'm sorry, Louisville beats West Virginia, but West Virginia is ranked ahead of Louisville.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Rutgers beats Louisville, but Louisville's ranked ahead of Rutgers. Why? Oh, because when you lose is important, except if you're Notre Dame and Michigan.
Exactly.
And then that doesn't matter because now head-to-head's the only thing that matters.
Right. Case in point.
Right. Okay. Well, we could go on and on, and we will be back in a few days to talk about where the Irish are likely to end up come bowl season. We'll preview the Notre Dame-Southern Cal game, talk about what Notre Dame has to do knock off the men of Troy. But until then, I'm Mike Sullivan, joined with Mike Brammer. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from the perspective of the fans. Our sponsor is the South Bend Chocolate Cafe in downtown South Bend. And we'll be back in a few days. Until then, remember, I'm Dome, but he's Domer.